Blog Talk Radio.
Showing that we are on Film What We Gotta Do. I want to say hello, hello, hello. Hope everybody can hear me. We're going to do a sound check. Make sure everything's good to go. We should be all right, but seeing as though I have some disruptive people that like to come to my live and start that everything, so I figured we're going to knock it out in the first thing in the first room. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. I am making sure that we do a good presentation. So this is Breakthrough's Mayday, Mayday, One Small Step series. And I've been away for a little while getting some things done and making sure that we're doing everything we possibly can do to make sure our live shows are really good. And then not only that, I want to make sure that we're doing everything possible to include everybody and make sure that our brand out, re-rollout is going to be welcome, good, good vibes, good vibes only. And then on top of that, I'm making sure that everything is good to go and copacetic on my end. So just one moment. Let me check something real fast, and we should be good. And again, a lot of this is stemming from a lot of mishaps with the shows and constant barrage of social media antics and buffoonery that's gone on and on, and it's gotten old. So I want to make sure that we are live and ready and good to go. So we live. Can you hear me? All right. So we are live. We're good. We're good. We're good. We're good. So welcome, welcome to my show. This is the new presentation format that I have. When I have my days that I want to just chill, sit back, and relax, make sure you guys hear me and everything else, and we're having a good show. So with that being said, we're going to finish up where we left off before. I want you guys to understand that codependency can kill your career. Codependency and wanting to be included can show everything that you want to do in your life. And we started off the last time with a little bit about codependency and how to be a little bit less codependent and become independent of. Part of the reason why I said that is codependency is very, very unhealthy, and it's a very toxic thing to have for when you're in business or you're trying to be an entrepreneur like myself, wear multiple hats and get your businesses off the ground and do what you need to do. Part of that is being able to understand that being an entrepreneur is something different, okay? And I want you guys to understand where I'm going with this. Part of this is that I feel like when you're trying to be a business person and you're trying to get out there and have something in life, we have to figure out what is it we're trying to do? What do I want? And in a breakthrough, we have to find a way to break our chain. And we have to break our chains and our codependencies and things like that, but we also have to break our chains and codependencies and habits. And with that being said, I want to be mindful of that in our conversation with this, because we're going to stop off from where we were at, and we're going to talk about resilience, and we're going to talk about how codependency and dependency and inclusion and being right and breaking up those patterns is why it's important. So give me just one moment and into the content. Also, by the way, I want you guys to join Clubhouse. So, with this, our first presentation for Clubhouse is now breaking chains and codependency behaviors or patterns. So, part of that is being able to understand how important it is to begin to restart a new behavior. And the thing is, we all have an addiction to wanting to be around other people. We want to be able to be around others and be included and things like that. A part of breaking those patterns is breaking the pattern of wanting to be around people who are not good for us. And part of that is understanding it from that mindset and then removing ourselves from that mindset and breaking those chains. So that's the reason why we're having this conversation. So welcome to my Clubhouse as well. So we're live on Clubhouse, and we're also live on our whole entire thing here. So pay attention to the stream. I also have an invite for you guys on the giveaway. you are going to be getting a free coaching if you guys put in #INCC on the coaching, on the comment streams and things like that. So anybody that wants a free coaching, you have to put in #INCC on there. And if your name gets drawn on there, you'll get a notification about that giveaway and you being able to get a free coaching from INCC coaching. So that is our new thing that we're doing. And that's part of the new mechanisms and tools that we have on our platform. So with that being said, again, #INCC coaching. But you'll put #INCC so that you'll be able to get that opportunity for a one-to-one coaching with me, and it's totally free. So surviving a level of addictive behaviors, meaning codependency behaviors, or behaviors that have us in a dependency behavior or pattern, or patterns that cause us to be wanting to think that we have to belong to someone. So we had thought, which is healing through creative writing, journaling, and then looking back in retrospect and being mindful of our words. And then on top of that, healing guided visualization. And we talked about grieving and loss of love or loss of inclusion or loss of acceptance. So we had to listen to the silences and the grieving of the loss of those different things and regaining a level of control of our life. Part of that in regaining control is understanding your pain and your suffering and your loss and your grief. So what is this training for? It's a bit of everything to get you guys to understand that. So we went through, what is this for? It's for couples. It's for individuals experiencing codependency, toxic levels of rejection or insecurities or feeling abandonment or anxiousness, attachment, or any levels of heartbreak or levels of what we call codependent behaviors that become to manifest other mental health or what we call behavioral health mechanisms that cause us to lose a level of ourselves and our real true self, our true self, our illuminated one, our I am self. So when we think about that, we get caught in a painful on and off cycle of that, and then we get into an impossible, unrequired, or non-reciprocated level of acceptance or desire for acceptance. So when we think about that, that is for couples, that is for professionals, and those of us who are caught in a painful on and off cycle or relationship with that or toxic interaction that seems impossible, unrequired, or unreciprocated. So when we think about that, we think about us, those of us who are unlike ourselves, and we think about our desire for another person or inclusion and things like that. But we have to think about the experiences that are not so happy, which is like the levels of infidelity, dishonesty, betrayal, or betrayal trauma, and getting the courage to leave that table that no longer serves that happiness. So we think about their escape from loneliness and human isolation, and we think about our purpose and a meaningful life as our purpose, we have to think about the experiences or sense of self or identity. We think about the experiences in human warmth, tenderness, and recognition, and inclusion. That includes everything that we do. So when we think about emotional deprivation, we think about breaking up those patterns and depriving ourselves of wanting to be codependent on someone's help for acceptance. So part of that is understanding that and understanding that mechanism. You may call it live 515-602-9765, or you can log in to www.talkradiodiva.com, or you may go to imcccoaching.com or imcc.com, and you may be able to book your appointment to do that, or you may enter into our giveaway, and that is #IMCC, and one of you great viewers will be able to win a free coaching today. And then we have our text number, which is local 404-418-5104. So you can also text toll-free international 866-727-9323. And again, that is www.talkradiodiva.com. That is our talk radio for our coaching sessions and our other umbrella of system businesses. So you may also book on the website INCC Coaching and then also Dawn Diva Coaching or teamworld.online for children, adolescents, and adults. And the other one is INCC.com, and that is our specialty appointments for traumatized people, for people who are special class, special needs, and things like that. Any real one-to-one, serious, in-depth training and things like that and coaching that requires a different method. So call 833-INCC, 833 for my appointment, or 833-BOOK-ME-TOO when you want to book your appointment on the phone. And again, our giveaway is #INCC. Put it in the comments, and if anybody wants to enter in there, you're welcome to do that. You'll get a free coaching, and that is a one-to-one with myself, INCC. Or talk radio diva here on the screen. So with that being said, we went through levels of protection is an integral part of human nature and the cradle to the grave. But part of that is a level of recovery and programmatic and CBT, EMDR, humanistic and existential counseling, which means a level in depth of mental health therapy and behavioral health therapy, depending on what's important, or if you're having codependency and other different things, such as anxiety, comorbidities, class C, levels of things that derive from class A and class B, and dealing with folks of those nomenclatures who are either antisocial personality disorder, or very toxic people. People who will create a level of you need to see psychotherapy or psychoanalysis or NLP coaching and things like that, or levels of grief and loss counseling that arise from the loss of being dependent on them for approval or inclusion. So part of that is devastating symptoms of abandonment and an addiction to wanting them to love you and they're not loving you the right way. So when we think about all those things, women who love too much, or we think about the love addiction, or we think about other type of books that are out there, when we think about that area of addiction, it's not always having to do with drugs and alcohol. Sometimes it has to be an addiction to a level of wanting acceptance and inclusion. And sometimes if you're around the tribe of people you don't align with or fit into at that table, you have to learn how to push that chair and get up and walk away from that table or that tribe. And sometimes it's not always the tribe. Sometimes it's only a couple of people sprinkled amongst the ranks that are making it choices for everybody at that level of morality, welfare, and recreation. So we have to find that level and figure out what it is and understand it at that. So when we talk about a level and layer of understanding that, it can be a sorrowful time. That is why we find a support system. That is why we find tools and strategies to support you through that time. And then begin to process the step at a time, a day at a time, and either face-to-face client sessions or a person may bring his or her writing material when you come to see a life coach, a wellness coach, health coach, or a guidance person, or counselor, or someone like that, or if you see a what we call an MD or a PA or what we call an ARNP, which is an advanced nurse's assistant, who is underneath a physician's assistant and helping you understand all these things and help with the diagnosis and treatment of other comorbidities that come with codependency. So with that being said, we have to think about all the things that are necessary when we think about enhancing realization focus and then solitude and concentration and inner harmony and realigning our crystals, our I am, our chakras, our energies. The things that we do best when we have solitude and follow our intuition and decide what sets us emotionally and wellness, and then on top of that for comfort and well-being. So I want you guys to understand why it's so important to go over those things. So we went through grief and loss of a loved one in the last session, but I want you guys to understand what is key. I truly believe that a love equilibrium between us and our balanced self, I wouldn't have been so overwhelmed and devastated. That's what a lot of people say when they're going through a level of devastation or a level of loss and a level of things are not going the way that they want them. And then you get into a vicious cycle, an addiction of wanting to be around people or having people that are going to support you, love you. But if you're not loving you the right way and not communicating the right way, your unconscious fantasy of themselves can actually get you to a level of codependent, like a cycle, like a hamster on a wheel, and you're constantly going round and round for circles. And when you think about all those different things, you think about how far you want a lifetime of unfulfilled wants, needs, and emotional connection and desires for that. But you have to think about, you have to do an emotional rescue sometimes. And then even validate that you feel that way and a significant level of awakeness and deep within ourselves. When we lose ourselves, we go to our shadow self, not our true priestess, our illuminated one, our life, our real true eternal life that's within us, that's in our DNA, in our RNA, everything that makes us our program that we're set with when we're first born. So when we think about all these different things, we don't just wake up like that. We think about the projection and the fantasy that we project or want for that person to be the ideal person we thought they were or who they're supposed to be or who they presented to be in the beginning. So when we think about all of these different things, we have to find a way to be able to understand it. We also have to be able to look at that very moment. It's just like Cinderella. And I love the story of Cinderella because there were the sisters who were rich and they were affluent, and she was the one that comes into the house, but they treat it like a redheaded stepchild. So we think about that vision of you being Cinderella and everybody is the redheaded sisters and things like that that are doing well and everybody's treating them right and they're included in everything else, but you're the redheaded stepchild who ends up being mistreated. It's the same thing in a workplace environment. It's the same thing with a tribe or organization. It's not the organization that's terrible. It's the people that are in it. Or it's the people amongst the ranks that are making it bad in morality, welfare, and well-being. So when we think about this, you think about, I am not interested in this anymore. I am not wanting to be married. I'm not wanting to be no solution, whether it's a marriage falling apart or an engagement falling apart, or whether it's a professional engagement, a level of depth of business and acquaintanceship that's falling apart because of toxic behaviors, toxic vibes,
things that do not align that make you say, I'm not interested, I'm good. I think I'll just take this seat, I'll just push it back into the table, and it no longer serves me any type of happiness, therefore I'm out. So when you think about all that, it's becoming ever so real that you're beginning to realize that fantasy that you had or that thought process that you had about that ends up being obliterated and it's shattered. So that vision is shattered. So you have to begin to go to look at your vision board of what you want and begin to look at that. In fact, in many cases, a lot of cases, including my own personal experiences, we begin to look at the euphoric high we have in the beginning, and we look at, we literally can't believe that the person is like that and that their our fantasy is not required, and then because we feel so strongly, how on earth can they not be the thing that we thought they were supposed to be? That means our psychological contract with them is broken. And then on top of that, the projection and projective identification is so powerful, and it can be also uniquely destructive. And, you know, when we say that, we have to understand this and what this means in the mind and the psyche. So how is it not the same for you? It's because the projected idealism or ideology that we had about that person or persons or that tribe or that organization did not meet or exceed our expectations. And that comes from a level and layer of different things that come from a scarcity mindset, not an abundance mindset. An abundance mindset makes you take whatever you're getting, look at it for what it is, accept it as it is, and work with it, or if it's no longer serving you or continually becoming a continuum of toxic things, then you begin to realize, oh, this is not for me. And you begin to realize the vibrations and the frequency that other people are on doesn't align with you because we're all not the same. But our fantasy, our vision, get this, think about this, our visionary, our clued in thought, our mind's eye, our third eye vision of them is not matching up. So it does not align with our energy, our I am Christos, our illuminated one, our original life, everything that we are aligned with in the beginning. And we find ourselves as we're going into organizations or into marriages or engagements or marital, we begin to look at the situation completely different from a different third eye view. And we begin to look at our outside third eye, which is our perspective, our projection of what our chakra, our third eye that we are born with, that's sitting up there with our pineal gland, and our vision of what we thought that person is does not match up and align. And that's some powerful stuff there. So when you're thinking about this, what you meet in another being is the projection of your own level of evaluation. Think about what that means. This is Barbara M. Dawes. If you think your situation is completely different from anybody else's, everybody's situation is different, but it's uniquely connected 6 degrees of separation. So we think about this reciprocation, and for several years and several years of evaluation and several levels of this, and there's levels to everything, we think about our situation completely different. Because when you go into a marriage, for instance, you go into a marriage and you go into a relationship, you're going in there with oxytocin, you've got little potion number 9, you're sitting up there like, yeah! In the beginning, right? By the time you get to knowing that person, your illusion, your vision of them no longer serves that oxytocin or that norepinephrine or that immediate rush, that immediate thought of, yeah, this is great. It's just like a job. Same analogy. You go on a job and you're sitting up there and you're thinking, yeah, it's going to be great. And then all of a sudden, like 3 or 4 weeks later, you're like, oh, crap. Not a clock in this job. This stinks. This is the pit. Oh, I hate my coworkers. You know, that thing. So when you start that, you begin to realize that your projection of what you initially walked in is not the true vision you should have. That's why I always tell people, give yourself time to get to know people. Give yourself time to get to know the job, the organization, and your tribe. Because if it's any organization, not particularly one, but you've got to begin to mirror the level of love and understanding, but you also have to look at when your hopes and your dreams and your thought process is death and your psychological contract that you already made up in your head does not meet the actual real true reality of the psychological contract you should have. And it's ironic. So when we think about all of this, we have to get into maybe it's what we chose. And we talked about this before. So I want you guys to understand why that's so important and imperative to do that. And the daily affirmation of what I like to do is affirmations here. It's important to reaffirm yourself on a daily basis. We are meant to be peer bonded. That means even organizationally, tribally, community, neighborhood. And it's a natural thing to want a partnership or relationship within your tribe, your community. We're meant to be in a community or have a network of people around us. That's true, unless your network is poisonous, unless your environment is poisonous. It's just like a poisonous ACE unit or poisonous people around you that can begin to poison your mental health, your emotional health, and well-being. So we're not meant to be isolated, and we're not meant to be solo beings. We are all fly beings. We are all people who are made up of a derivative of being a superhuman, a level of a programming so deep within us in our RNA and our DNA that makes us us. And that is our Christos. That's Greek for I am and the illuminated one. So no man or woman is an island. We need others to bond with. That is true. So when we think about all of this and what I've just said, we have to think about, now, why am I saying this to you? It's because in our own experiences, all of us, we have to think about the problem, not the need for solving the problem, but our need to understanding it and processing it so we can break those chains. So part of that is to begin to look at the elusive dance between unavailable and withdrawing and not trying to fix that habit or habit changes that you need to have and begin to facilitate a mechanism of working through that and not be avoided or insecure or anxious to be detached from bad habits and attaching to a level of getting past the addiction of wanting to be around someone or wanting to be around a tribe or being included and accepted, especially if you're not aligning with the people there. And then you have to look at the tribe itself, the organization itself, or the marriage itself, and you have to say, are we equally yoked? Are we on the same mindset? Are we on the same wavelength? You can say, yeah, I align with the organization, but maybe there's some people in it amongst the ranks I do not. And it's the same thing with a marriage. You can have key factors in a marriage where it can be your in-laws, it can be your husband, it can be the kids, it can be the stepkids. It can be whatever organization you're attached to, even your community. And it can be your neighbor. It can be the new person next door. It can be the new person that heard something from the neighbor. You have to look at what is causing the levels and layers of discomfort or what we call not aligning well or adjusting well. And it's ironic how two very different attachment styles can really be either make or break us or they can become destructive. It's the same thing with social media and my experience on social media. I will tell you that I had to restart my social media and just move platforms. I realized that my platform with Twitter and my platform with Facebook became very poisonous because of the people I was dealing with. I found that it was very poisonous for me. I found that I'm constantly getting chaotic people who are not aligned, who are immature, childish, and I found myself always reacting. And I found myself always responding to manipulative, orchestrated, divisive, abusive antics, and levels and depth made it hard for me to rebrand. It made it hard for me to rebrand out and represent. And I tried this 2 and 3 years after the initial intimate partner violence situation, and I tried this for 2 or 3 years. I kept getting trolled, provoked, gaslit, and being harassed, humiliated. So the last straw was the last 6 days. I responded to an account, Forrest_Doll, and it was a troll account. It's somebody with a backdoor account that reported my account, and every time I responded, we would report my account. So I ended up getting put on Twitter, Twitmo, because I responded. And I wasn't misconduct written or nothing like that, but I realized that there were some immature, childish people on there, and there's troll accounts on there. I realized that when I was dealing with that on Periscope. So once I realized I was dealing with that toxic set of people, and I realized the immaturity level on that platform, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm moving platforms. I'm not going to sit here and be on a platform where it's not regulated. I'm not going to be on a platform where there's poisonous people who never want to grow up, don't want to act right, but they got the bias whenever you call it out. Or whenever you go in and say, hey, I don't like being put up, I don't like being gaslit. I wrote you, I told you what I don't like, I told you what I don't accept, and you continue to allow it, but you have bias towards me. And then you're upholding a rule because you can't stand me. So when it became that level of I talked to the CEO, and I pointed out the CEO's flaw, and I pointed out the CEO's implicit bias because of his own backdoor business deal, I realized that, oh, we're not aligned. We're not equally yoked in ethics, we're not equally yoked in professionalism, and we're not equally yoked in getting adequate protection so I can continue to keep my account. And I decided, you know what, you're not worth it. So in the last couple of days, I took the time to break habit. I decided I'm going on a Twitter fast. I decided I was going to go on a social media whole fast. And then on top of that, go and start back where I came from and begin to move forward with something new and break that habit. So part of that breakthrough is just saying, you know what, Twitter's not for me. It's just not a healthy platform for me. I just absolutely can't stand it. I can't stand being provoked gaslit. I just laughed on Periscope, and now they had it. It's unregulated. Then on top of that, my Twitter lives are always being bombarded with trolls, provoking gaslighting, all the things that are just unacceptable to me. And I dressed up for that Patrick Dorsey multiple times. I dressed up in 2018, 2017, 2019, 2020, and then in the last 2 years, they've harassed me, provoked me, gaslit me, and then this last final straw is constantly being put in timeout while I'm defending myself in the provoking, gaslighting crap. So Taurus underscore Gall decided they wanted to play these dance behind games just like the Mayo Clinic, and then DoorDash did the same exact thing. So I realized what I was dealing with a lot of nasty folks who think that they're above the law, untouchable, and they can do whatever they want to do, but they can wrongfully report and make false reports. So that's what happened to me in my experience. So what did I take out of this? Did I go to Twitter bash? No. I decided that Twitter's not for me. So I decided to go to another platform that's more regulated, and it's by invite only. So therefore, you can't go on there and do whatever you want to do. And I like that. And I like that you can actually control it that way and be able to be with like-minded professionals. So I decided, yep, I'm moving and jumping ship because you know what? I've had enough of Twitter. I've had enough of the BS, and I've had enough of the trolling. I've had enough of the provoking. I've had enough of the gaslighting, the word salad, the nastiness. And I decided I'm just going to change where I'm going. So breaking the habit of being a Twitter tweety. So I decided, you know what? You're not worth it. You're not, your platform's not worth it, and I'd rather invest in doing something different. So part of that was breaking those chains, unhealthy chains to Twitter, and unhealthy chains to Facebook, and saying, you guys are not worth it. I have not been able to grow a business because I have an unhealthy platform that does nothing to mitigate all the risk, and it's too high risk for me. And then I'm a mature, emotionally healthy person, and I don't need that. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else. And I did. So I enjoy it, and I'm starting to get, like, the actual platform. So I decided, you know what, let me go make my own platform where it's exclusive, mutually exclusive for me and my viewers and people that I can control the narrative, and I can be able to enjoy myself, and I can begin to rebrand and brand out the way I need to so my brand can grow. So that's what I decided to do. That's part of my habit change story. So we have to think about identifying our priorities and our personal growth and self-development, self-awareness, and discovery. So in my discovery, while they sat there and punished me wrongfully, I said, you know what, I discovered this platform's not for me. It's not been supportive of my growth. It's always caused me problems. I've addressed this. I even addressed it with Facebook. And I was like, you know what, it's not worth it. It's just unregulated. They won't do anything, and it's going to blow on itself, so why not just jump ship and just go on and move on with something I can see potential and growth with, and it has to also control the narrative and who's around me. So I figured that would be safer for me and have safer lives and enjoy it. So I decided to not be the chosen one in the sacrificial lamb for social media. You go on and move on from that. So right now what we're talking about is the breakthroughs in a resiliency factor and responding in appropriate manners and being able to respond in an effective manner that works for me. So part of that is removing myself from platforms, starting over new, and then removing people from the platform day by day and unfollowing people and just moving on because there's no need for all of that that they were doing, and it was just unnecessary. It's just a chronic lane of use and devices, and it's just an unloving environment, not nurturing my growth and not nurturing my presentation and rebrand out and re-roll out, and they did everything they could to make it as miserable as possible experience. So with that being said, I addressed it one too many times, and they don't understand that. They kind of flip the bias that there's something going to be done, except for litigation and move on. So we have to think about the abandonment, the distress, the rejection, the separation, the anxiety, the fear of being alone or feeling powerless when you try to address things in the right way, and the loss of emotional independence and helplessness and shattering symptoms of loss and sadness when you have to change your habits. And part of that is beginning to realize grief is a cycle. It's pretty cool. And then on top of that, when you begin to realize that you're getting more grief than you are any relief, part of that is relieving yourself of the platform or environment that's causing it. That includes even a neighborhood. That includes even an environment, a city, a county, a state. Part of those things are in the works for me. But I wanted to break through with you guys and show you that habit change has to be done. One small step and one small step series is what we're doing. So I wanted to make sure the next presentations and things like that, as well also building up our clubhouse, if you guys begin to enjoy it, enjoy me, and enjoy my platform and what I'm going to be doing in my clubhouse. So with that being said, I wanted to make sure that we're doing everything to make this a good presentation, this first one. And I'll share it on other platforms how to come to my clubhouse. So I have it on my whole new platform and everything else, and for everybody who I want on there can come. You're more than welcome. So you're welcome to drop in and join. I'm making sure I shoot it out there for you guys so we can enjoy ourselves. So you'll be able to get it there, and then you'll also be able to get it also on our Facebook page so that you guys can enjoy it. And that is part of my new brand out, re-rollout, is to enjoy myself and be able to enjoy presentations and coaching for you guys and be able to invite you guys to something new. And part of that is changing with the times and rolling with the new things. So, again, like I said, welcome, welcome, welcome. And I'll share it out with you guys. And you may follow me on Pinterest as well. I'm just sharing it out for you guys just one moment and taking a quick break. All right, is that there? And, you know, with having a business and things like that, part of this is being able to rebrand and be able to do it in such a manner that it's not detrimental to me and my business. And that's another reason why we're switching lanes and switching gears. All right. So you're welcome to go to IMCC Coaching on Facebook, and you'll be able to get there, and you can come into our clubhouse invite. And you're more than welcome to come. Back to our coaching today. So, everyone has a way of coping. Everybody has a way of being resilient. I want you guys to understand, love knows no end until the hour of separation. That's like a little Gavron. And we talked about this before, but I wanted to go back over that so you guys understand that a complete level of disorganization or despair or sadness or devastation or hopelessness sets in when we begin to go and move ourselves away from people or places or things. It's like trains, planes, and automobiles. But begins to think about the shock, the yearning, and the complete levels of discombobulation we feel, that feeling of disorganization, despair, and this sadness, and things like that that happen. Here's the reason why. Because we look at the devastation, the hopelessness, and we look at the level, the depth of our state of reorganization, letting go of attachment, and most of all, investing our time. And a lot of people will not understand that until they're either in business or they're a parent, and they realize time is money. Time is everything. You cannot get the past value of time, but you have to look at the future present value of good time invested. So we think about the guided level visualization of our time and away from something bad. We think about breathing internally, circling around, and beginning to do the groundwork, the footwork, the chakra work, the energy work, the levels and depth of a circling of a typical to atypical level of point around typical outcomes that normally happen when we don't adjust well. So when we think about all of those different things, we think about what do I need to be doing? How do I get there from here? We think about the art of mindfulness through words and losing ourselves in our tribe, our organization, our community, or our partner. So when we go into the self-love part and we go into the resiliency part, we need to talk about how to master those habits. So here's where we're going to get into the nuts and bolts, the nitty-gritty, everything good that we need to talk about. Because I figured we'd go into the first set of the show about that and go into the second set, make it short and sweet, but begin to learn how to master the habits. Because it's easier than the other part. So let's start with Module 7, where we're talking about the power of habit. Part of this was coming from Module 6, which is mastering our thoughts. Part of that is mastering our thoughts and emotions. It is undisputed that we have these stuttering levels in our mindset, and our quality of our thoughts determine our nature of our reality, or depth of perception or a vision. So part of that is that we got to master our emotions and our beliefs. Part of our belief systems are what we have, we learn, and part of it is what we're programmed with in the beginning. And sometimes we fight with what we learn versus what we're programmed with, which means we're fighting with our shadow of ourselves.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to do that. All right. So when we think about all of that, we think about the power of habit. We think about the power of habit, and it's not underestimated. Part of that is a mature understanding of habits and how to use them in fundamental becoming fully whole and integrated in human beings, human life. And then on top of that, whole levels of realigning the self, the former self, the shadow self that we've learned to be and becoming our illuminated self, our Christos, I am self. And then we think about our habits, our primary determinant of who we are and who we become. So sometimes we adopt habits over time in a period of lifetime, and we begin to do that when we're in marriages, relationships, jobs, organizations, or tribes. And the repetition of the same thought or action develops into a habit. So when you heard the thing of it takes 21 days to form a habit and a lifetime to break it, repetition of the same thought or action develops into a habit, which repeatedly, frequently enough, becomes an automatic reflex. That's what Vincent Norman Peale. When we think about this, what do we do every day to change who we are? The issue is most people have four habits which compete with the everyday thinking without thinking about them. So when we think about our actions that we normally are programmed with, our mannerisms, our traits, our personality traits, and things like that, we think about our habits will help us to correct some of our subconscious tendencies or the things that we do on autopilot. So think about this when you're in a bad marriage, bad relationship, bad organization, or bad tribe. Think about if you're in a bad community, or bad marriage, or poisonous dating relationship, or a level of what we call a toxic thing. So when we think about the subconscious, we have to consider what half of our daily activities are automatic. So think about this when you put your feet on the ground, you get your cup of coffee, and you're thinking about, okay, what am I going to do today? You do not put any conscious awareness into all those different things, correct? So habits are a way for our brains to conserve energy over time so you won't get exhausted. So when we think about this, they're vital to our functioning. Imagine if you had to calculate every step you have to work on beforehand, how to make your breakfast, how to open the front door, how to take each step to the car, how to start the ignition, how to drive in a busy traffic, et cetera. So think about this in a marriage, a workplace environment, and think about this every day when you perform your job. You're on autopilot because after the first set of training, the first few weeks, you're pretty much smooth sailing. You're on autopilot. What you do and your personality trait with your job sets the tone of your narrative of who you are and your character at the job and how people describe you. So thankfully, our subconscious takes care of it all most of the time, right? So think about this. The big brain is only capable of remembering between 5 to 9 facts at a time. So think about what that's saying. Your brain can't take over 10 things at a time. Unless you're a superhuman and you can process things like gaslighters. Then you're on a whole different level of frequency. So the reset is passed into the subconscious for processing, right? So when you're thinking about your psyche or your brain, your frontal cortex, your prefrontal lobe, and all these different things, and you're thinking about your back cortexes and things like that, but you're usually meaning your front part of your prefrontal cortex and your orbital lobe. So you're thinking about all these different things, your eyes, your hand-eye coordination, you're thinking about your chakra, you're thinking about your pineal gland, you're thinking about all the things that make your body work, and your CNS, which is your brain, and everything else, all the way to your spine, sending these impulses to your body. So you're on autopilot, it's your program. So that is your DNA. But when you think about the habits, as you add on to it, so you're adding 5 to 9 more things onto that. So you're processing all this through your CPU, your body, and your CNS, your central nervous system. So the body remembers every little thing, correct? So when you do something once, you complete it the next time around on autopilot far more easily because your body put a picture, a pictorial view of you do this, you do this, you do that, and you do this, you do this, you do that. So when you do all of that, you pretty much put yourself on autopilot. You are pretty much programmatic, okay, this is what I do every day. I get up and get my coffee. I get up and get dressed. I go brush my teeth. I do all my habits. I do everything that I need to do that's on autopilot. So we're talking about our hygiene. We're talking about everything that we're supposed to do every day. Good. So we're good to go on that. Then we're thinking about, okay, I code send to the job. Okay, are you on time? Do you go get clocked in 10, 15 minutes early? Or are you one of those late people who comes in there and you're rushing and everything else? By the time you get clocked on the phone, it's about 5 minutes, 10 minutes too late.
That's why they give you 5 minutes of grace period before you get logged on the phone. But they usually tell you to be there about 30 minutes early so you can be on time and ready in case there are technical difficulties. So you think about all of that. You think about how to make your breakfast, how to open the front door, all the stuff that we just talked about. So you think about most of your habits are driven by unconscious fears that you're not aware of. So when you think about this, you think about the fear of being late. You think about, okay, you go and have something happen to your car in the morning and you're running late. Then you got to freak out and wonder what your boss is going to say, especially if you've been late a couple of good times. So then you think about all the subconscious fears that go rolling in. So that's why I said fear, not trust the process. But you also have to remember what are you doing and setting the tone of your habits. So when something goes awry, like a marriage or a relationship or engagement goes awry, or you end up getting in a divorce and it gets a little nasty, then you're just like thinking, okay, I'm on autopilot. Most of my day is pretty much perfunctory. So it might not be so bad when I'm at the job until things go awry at the job. And then on top of that, you got a bad marriage or a bad engagement and you're breaking up the engagement and you're starting to say, okay, you know what? Now the fear starts coming in because you're like, oh, crap, I got a habit of this, this, and this. But is that habit healthy when it's going through turmoil or something that throws a monkey wrench in the 5 to 9 things that you do all the time? So when you think about that, most of your habits are driven by unconscious fears you're not aware of until something happens. And then correcting those habits can have the effect of correcting these fears through, though it takes, so you have to undo that habit, correct? So now I'm going to teach you about how to master those habits. That's a masterclass in itself. Everything that you do is more than a habit. Everything you do are some habits incredibly deeply ingrained. Part of that is the longer the habit is put in place, the harder it is to replace it. So think about this. Think about if you drink coffee most of your natural-born adult life. Think about when you start weaning yourself off of coffee and you feel like a monster on steroids because you're just like, ah, you know, and you're just really ready to, like, hurt somebody because you're used to drinking your coffee every day. You got to replace it with some water. You got to replace it with something healthy, some juice or something else other than caffeine because you're addicted to the caffeine. Especially those of you who are coffeeholics, you have 5 to 10 cups before your day even finishes half the day out. That is not healthy. That's just too much. So think about this. As you go break your coffee habit, I don't suggest anybody do it. It's healthy for some people, especially if you're prone to migraines. I found that out from my doctor. So with that being said, you learn that it's okay to drink coffee, but in moderation. So you realize, okay, so I'm going to bring down my coffee habit down from 10 cups to maybe 5. Then you bring it down to 5 cups to maybe 3. So, but that takes time. So that's what I meant by it takes a little while to replace that habit of 10 cups of coffee. So when we think about this, this is an example of a person who has been like, okay, say about like an example like this. A person who's been smoking for 30 years. Do you think it's easy to not smoke after 30 years? It's going to be like an act of Congress to get that person to stop smoking cigarettes. Because you think about this, constantly using and taking smoking breaks with friends and smoking at home is a habit. So think about this, when you're wanting to have that inkling, go outside, have a puff, a couple of puffs and things like that, and then you're thinking to yourself like, oh, crap. You know what, I got to break this habit, but I got my friends and my smoking partners, but I'm on smoking cessation. So think about how hard that is for a 30-year vet of smoking. That is going to take an act of Congress and everybody else to be your support team and your support team to get you to stop smoking. And, you know, when you think about this, it's easy to make that habit out of going to the gym or meditating, but it's not as easy to break that habit of smoking. So you think about all of those different things, and it's just like your gym rats out there. When you have a person who's been at the gym all the time, but when their doctor says you're over-exercising or you need to kind of slow it down, things like that, then you think that gym rat is going to have withdrawal from going to the gym all the time. So part of that is undoing the mechanism of, oh, going with your gym buddies, you know, playing tennis or sitting with your trainer and working out all the time when you're really overdoing it. So when you think about all these different things, you got to make a habit of undoing all that, but you got to meditate, realign your mind, realign your mental health and emotional health, and you have to think about a smoker or a drinker of alcohol or a gym rat. So when you're thinking about all of that, everyone knows that it's not the gym or the mechanisms that you're using that is difficult. It's the thought that you can no longer do it or you have to reduce what you're doing to be able to get to a point that you're weaning yourself from it. I don't recommend gym rat totally wean away from the gym. Just slow it down a bit if you're overdoing it, especially if you're starting to have health problems. And that may be from life stressors or if you're going through a bad divorce or you're going through a toxic divorce or if you're going through a toxic disengagement from an engagement or you're literally going through a whole mess with your family. So it may take 3 days for the body to get adjusted to a different kind of, like, habit that you had. So you're going to have to think about just like a diet change, right? in like the level of that, the thing about rehabilitating the mind, it's just like drug rehabilitation. The first 3 days are the most difficult for any drug addict, right? So when you think about this, I worked in those types of facilities before. So the patient will have much easier time staying away from this as they adopted the fact that they have to go and change what they're doing. I don't recommend anybody doing drugs. Here's the reason why. It's addictive if you have addictive personality. If you're the type of person who likes to drink, snort, or do all these different things, and you got all kinds of different habits and things like that, as a life coach, well, as a health coach, I'm going to try to get all of it. And it doesn't mean they're going to judge you if you do it. It's the fact that, you know, over a period of time, it affects your body. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. So part of that is that, like I said, with a drug rehabilitation or someone who's on drugs or a person who has an addiction to coffee or addiction to smoking cigarettes, you have to look at the first 3 days or the worst, because you're going to sit there and think, I have to control this habit. I have to figure out how I'm going to downgrade from this habit. Then you have to think about, is the body physically dependent? Is the mind physically dependent? Is the emotional physically dependent? So you have to be adapted to its presence, and then you got to unadapt to the presence of that habit, whether it's good, bad, or if it's something like that. So when you think about the 3 days, you think about the adaptation and finding a way to function with or without that habit that you have. So when you think about all this, you think about the physical side of things. You think about the withdrawal from being around people who smoke cigarettes or older alcohol. I don't do drugs, so I don't put that in that narrative. But those of you who do drugs, you're going to have to get away from people who do it. So when you think about this, the scientific studies established that 3 weeks for a habit to become ingrained. So that's a good 21 days, right? So you're going to have to undo that habit that you started 21 days, 3 weeks. Then you're going to have to undo it 3 weeks, but you're going to take a lifetime to continue to consistently do that. So after 3 weeks, it's likely that the person will continue to not do it afterwards. But when you start, you think about you're going to continue to do it at 3 weeks, 21 days of doing the same thing. So it's likely that you'll have to undo it. So those 21-day marks are the most important. So you think about all of that in your recalibration, your mindset, your habit change, and you begin to think it just becomes second nature. It does not really matter what it is, but it matters what the beauty of the habit and understanding what how your habit is affecting you physically, mentally, emotionally, and things like that, and some people financially. And use them to your benefit and begin to say to yourself, I'm going to start a breakthrough, a one small step, a series of small steps to make that habit stick. And be able to make sure it's a healthy habit to undo what I'm doing that's not healthy for me mentally, emotionally, physically. So the ultimate habit that you want to maintain is a positive thought. Part of that is the minute you find yourself thinking negative or trying to change it sometimes to something positive, you have to think over time, this will become second nature and negative thoughts will become thing of the past. Then the ultimate habit to adopt is so to best to start with the practices of meditation and diet change or habit change or what we call one small step breakthroughs that help you begin to go formulate good habits to master. So with that being said, here we are in the nitty-gritty, the nuts and bolts. So I'm going to wrap this up in just a few minutes, guys. Affirmations are one of the best ways to enhance self-esteem, emotional efficacy, and as long as they're done correctly. However, it should be borne in the mind that the affirmations need to be believable and that they are achievable. So if the affirmation is too far from where you're at or what you're trying to achieve, make it a daily affirmation, a small one, and then begin to build upon those affirmations and begin to go and apply them correctly. And if the affirmation is too far from where you are, then you got to think about you need to be in the present tense and not in the level of negation, like I am not this, I am not that, or reinforcing a level of scarcity mindset versus a necrosis of reinforcing negative mindset versus positive mindset. So you want to reinforce like something like this, I am rich. If you are poor, you'll say, I am poor, but I am going to be no longer poor. I am going to become rich. Do you understand that I am Christos, the Jesus Christos, the illuminated one, the illuminating the light and shedding some light on the affirmation that I am going to go from poor to rich. I am going to be wealthy. I am wealthy-minded. I am wealthy mindset. I am abundance mindset, not scarcity mindset. So there is an infinite amount of habits to take on board, but so you need to be selective of those habits. Then on top of that, the best habits will depend on the person. And, you know, you have to think about this in the question of drinking a smoothie or visualizing your perfect day, making a level and depth of habits that work out for you. And then on top of that, consider turning off levels of things that your habit or your frequency. You know, turning off at night. reducing technology and things like that, beginning to wean yourself from things that are poisonous or causing you our overload or sensory overload or depth of perception overload. So now you understand why I did what I did with my platform that I had on Twitter. I'm beginning to move towards a level of a different platform that is more curated for people like myself so that I can be with professionals like myself and begin to have a like-minded jogging of the ideas and meeting of the mind. And not deal with the extra riffraff. So that was the reason for my clubhouse. So when we think about this, it's time to just think about the levels and layers of our consciousness and subconscious, and then when we sleep or when we're waking, whether you have access to the state of mind that you're in, but still conscious, and when you become subconscious sleeping, and you have to try to manifest a positive emotion in these states. Your day and night will run more smoothly, and then lucid dreaming is another modality that can help you. So having I am affirmations while you're sleeping helps. Then pineal gland opening, and then also chakra cleaning, and while you're sleeping, as for works as well. Help books, and then the willpower to get up at the highest peak in the morning and begin to go and look at what the day has to go forward, planning your day, beginning your ritual, and we all have rituals, y'all. I don't give a darn what anybody says. We all have rituals. It has nothing to do with witchcraft. It has nothing to do with dark magic. It has nothing to do with light magic. It has everything to do. We're all doing rituals every single day. Your ritual to get up and drink coffee every day. Your ritual to go to the gym is a ritual. Your ritual to go to church is a ritual. I want everybody to understand that. So people don't get into this mindset, oh my God, that's the something of cult. No, it's not. So I want you guys to understand all of that so that you understand everything has a culture, and the word cult is in that in the sense of belonging to a tribe. So cultera, culture, cult. So there is no cult in anything, y'all. It's just that you have a cult practice, cult vision, or a level of people who will make a cult look bad when it comes down to a level of doing things in the wrong manner, the wrong light, not in the right light, in order. So I want you guys to understand the difference. And begin to get into a positive space, not a negative space, and begin to relax and move into your habit. Last but not least, habits are very hard. Let me take a deep breath with that one. Whatever kind of habit you adopt, remember to stick with it for at least 3 weeks. Part of this is the big thing, morning time. Over time, it will become a second nature to you. Incorporate your habits one at a time so you do not get overwhelmed. Begin to start to pick up each thing week by week. Then on top of that, habits are very difficult to break out once they become ingrained. They are ingrained so strongly in the brain that they can even survive brain damage. Understand this from what I went through. I had a TBI. I've had a TBI twice. From excessive force from a police officer, from something that was orchestrated by my intimate partner that I was with for 10 years. The other situation was a situation of I got contact hits and combat hits. So I've been hit in the face, and I've been hit in the face multiple times in intimate partner situations, and we'll talk about that at a later date. I don't want to talk about this now. So I want you guys to understand that when we do our breakthroughs and breaking from a traumatic experience or traumatized situations that leave you traumatized and codependent. So we're going to have that conversation at a later date at another session, but I don't want to go into that. So a TBI can last for years. You just don't notice it until it creeps up on you, and then you're like, the fuck story. So it can happen. So if you think about this, on the other hand, this can be a good thing if you adopt a positive habit, as per Warren Buffett. He's one of my favorite people. The chains of habit are too light to be felt until they're too heavy to be broken. And so as difficult habits can break, if you stick with it, the benefits can be phenomenal. If you find yourself on a never-ending spiral or conundrum of self-development, begin to start to pick apart each part that you're doing that should continue to spiral or staying at a stalemate at. So one habit after the next can be broken from the smallest to the biggest and begin to prioritize all those different things. So once you prioritize all of that, it will result in a change in all other things, and you begin to knock each one out, boom, boom, boom. So when you think about this, you can use the power of habit to find yourself, true self, and establish an unshakable self-esteem, self-efficacy, and you begin to break the chains of codependency for the need to belong. So I wanted to stop there, and we're going to talk about the next set, which is creative ways to boost self-love and self-efficacy So when you're in a toxic environment, toxic community, or around a toxic marriage or marital partner or an engaged partner, and you begin to realize that we're not equally yoked, or our mindsets are not the same, or our frequencies are not the same, our sense of humor is not the same, then there's a level of, I need to break away from this. I need to go and move my chair, push it into the table that no longer serves me. If it's not no longer causing you a level and layer of peace and it's disturbing your peace, then you've got to remember, break those chains. So we've been on 58 minutes, 22 seconds, and I want everybody to understand that I wanted to make these presentations a little bit more shorter, a little bit more sweet, and a little bit more compact so that you guys can get it in. So we've got it in our small amount of time that I want to allot you guys. I want to be present for you guys and hope you guys enjoyed it. So the last part to this is that we've got to begin to have affirmations of how do you lose yourself in that relationship. We'll talk about more of that tomorrow in our self-love seminar, along with the one small step in the series and the breakthroughs of the subconscious mind, and beginning to get into mastering those habits tomorrow by going in creative ways to boost self-love. So we'll piggyback off of that. And then on top of that, the addictive levels that we have to break and those chains that we have to break. So we're going to make sure these modules are short and sweet but concise, and I hope you guys liked it in the whole hour that we've been on. I really hope you guys book with me, call in live 515-602-9765, and then log on to www.talkradiodiva.com, and that is our talk radio therapy, talk therapy that we have on sessions like this. And you can go to our clubhouse, Breaking the Chains and Codependency Behaviors, and patterns, and you can listen to that audio. And then on top of that, if you want to text local 404, phone 85104, or text toll-free 866-727-9323. And our international viewers that we have all over the world, thank you so much for viewing with us and being on our talk radio station. I do appreciate everybody. Also, if you want to make a level of a love offering for our presentations or seminars, you can do $TalkRadio, Diva, and you can also do it at $INCCCoaching, or you may do it at Don Diva Coaching, or you may do it at Team World, and begin to put that acting kind. And then on top of that, that is to expand business and bring new and fresh content and be able to have good presentations with that. So thank you for allowing me my first clubhouse and my first presentation there. And you guys come join me. You'll be able to find your invite in the next time that I'm on. Come on in. And I appreciate you guys attending that first presentation there. Everybody have a nice day.